Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
This is not a time for you to lose your mind. This is a time for you to get a hold of it and conduct yourself with hope that is in God. The Bible says, hope thou in the Lord. Have you called upon the Lord? I know you've called on everybody else. You've called on Walmart, Amazon, and everything else, but have you called on the Lord? Because if you haven't called on the Lord, you're not calling the right person yet.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for being with us again for Revive Radio. Let's return to this recent message series with Pastor Rogers. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 5. Let's get back into the message today.
Now, let me tell you this three steps that takes place, and you're seeing this happen on the streets of America right now. Depression turns into desperation that turns into despair. And when people get in this cycle and they don't have any direction or where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? That's when you get anarchy. Listen to me, church and Christians and believers. You're not part of that. You've got to get a hold of the Word of God and let the Word of God get a hold of you. Because if you don't, you will be controlled by your feelings like the rest of this world. Hear what I'm telling you. We have, and I spoke this to the folks here just before we came live with you, that we have the government that is trying to be able to make right decisions. But they are, by and large, and we pray for them constantly because they're making decisions and hard decisions, and I get it. But there are any number of factions that are going on, and we have more of a fear-filled mindset that's telling people in the world and in the United States specifically, this is what's going to happen. And they only work out of data and out of lists and this is how many we've had and this is the curve and all that. But this is the difference between the world's mentality and what we call the faith-based or believers, Christians, church members and so forth, believers in their soul, having faith in God. In the days ahead, you're going to see how fear and faith are going to be the fighting factions all the way through this thing. And you're going to have a heart that's filled with faith instead of fear, because there's going to be some decisions that are handed down that are based completely out of the root of fear. And you've got to be able to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, this is what the Word of God says, and I choose to believe the Word of God. Okay? Depression leads to desperation that leads to despair. And in a depressed state of mind, how do I know I'm in that state of mind? I start losing hope. It feels like there is no hope. It feels like I have no control over the situation. Now stay with me, because I'm going to help you here. Life, as we know it right now, is virtually being taken over by the government and by banking lending institutions. Because now it comes back to that infamous statement that people want to ignore, but it always comes back to it. You've heard it in the political realm many years ago. It's the economy, stupid. Guess what? This virus is now giving way to the mindset of the economy. How am I going to survive? Some are deciding already that it's over and they're already taking their life. That's not for the child of God. One crisis piling on top of another, violence in our land and abuse and drugs and alcohol, all that kind of stuff's going on, but that's not for the child of God. But it's shifted now. I can sense this, how that people are now asking the questions, not what am I going to do, how am I going to make it? They're thinking about basic needs. And then people are making decisions about, I get $1,200 in my hand and I can't wait to go spend it. And Amazon has now got it all and you don't have anything. Go back and listen to some of these management leading in a crisis lessons that I've taught before. This is not a time for you to go out there and start making frivolous kind of decisions. Living by biblical principles is not easy, but it is proven in the time of a crisis. When you live by biblical principles and you get that in your spirit and you operate yourself and your family and your business like that, I mean, common sense would say, okay, let's give Chick-fil-A a pass. We're in the middle of a crisis. They can't have anybody inside of the store. So, let them open up on Sunday. Thank God they're staying true to their principles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, while the lines are around the block at many restaurants, they're still staying true to the biblical principle of honoring the Lord, and God will honor them. That's a biblical principle. Now, that's hard to get across to people who have not yet, they haven't been walking with the principles and with in faith before they got to this point. So to even try to start preaching and teaching that to some people, they say, I don't want to hear that. Just give me something in my hand. Well, I'm going to give you something better than a meal. I'm going to give you something better than just a few dollars. I'm giving you the principles of God's word right here that's going to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus in the days that are ahead. So, from a spiritual and practical standpoint that we've been dealing with these lessons with you on, the leaders, get this, and I don't know if this is on your paper or not, but I'm giving it to you now. Leaders always face whatever it is first. So before your children, before your spouse, before your employees, before your congregation, whatever it may be, you read it in the Word of God, the leader will have always already experienced those crisis moments so that they can be a leader in that crisis moment. I was sharing with someone the other day how that the different occupations that I have held in my life before I took into the 30-year pastoring of a church, it was in the middle of the fire service that taught me how to deal with crisis moments in the immediate. Somebody is bleeding. Somebody's in a crisis. Those things taught me. I had no idea how I would be using them in the future, but the fact is those moments taught me. When I read the Word of God and I've walked with the Lord, you go through experiences in your life that teach you, it should, so that you can draw near to God, so that when we get to a crisis like this, that you're not losing your mind like everybody else is. You should look at your neighbor and tell them this is no time to lose your head. Okay? This is not the time for you to lose it. This is the time for you to take hold of it. This is the time for the Word of God to rule your every step. So from the spiritual and practical standpoint, leaders always face things first, even depression. I want you to know a lot of times, and when I reflect on some of the bios that I've read, Winston Churchill and FDR and others in time past, when they had to make these incredible decisions for this country and for their country and what was going on, you find many times that they're dealing with depression at the same time they're leading. Isn't it amazing? It would be one thing if I could get through the deal and then, okay, I'm ready to go. But you're dealing with it at the same time that people are looking at you saying, which way do we go? What do we do? We've got to have Christians and believers. I hope somebody's getting this tonight. If you're getting a hold of this, give me a thumbs up. Here's the deal. We've got to have leaders that know how to carry the burden of whatever it is I'm walking through and still be able to say, like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. That's real leadership. Sometimes, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus carrying the weight of the future of a crucifixion on his shoulder while he's turning around breaking bread and feeding multitudes. I mean, you know that he had that in the back of his mind. You know that he spoke to the disciples multiple times and said, they're going to crucify me, they're going to spit on me, they're going to mock me, they're going to beat me, and finally, they're going to kill me out here. He knew that. They didn't understand that. Jesus is carrying that into the back of his mind, and all the while he's putting children up in his lap saying, blessed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is not a time for you to lose your mind. This is a time for you to get a hold of it and conduct yourself with hope that is in God. The Bible says, hope thou in the Lord. Get this passage of scripture. It may be on your paper, may not. Psalm 50 and verse number 15. Call upon him in the day of trouble. And I will deliver you. That's what God's word said. Call upon him. Have you called upon the Lord? I know you've called your neighbor. I know you've called AT&T. I know you've called Mediacom. I know you've called on everybody else. You've called on Walmart and Amazon and everything else. But have you called on the Lord? Because if you haven't called on the Lord, you're not calling the right person yet. The grace of God. Listen, this is what we need in a time of hopelessness, where people are feeling like there's no hope for the future. When does it end? When's it going to be back to normal? I just submit to you, my friends, and this is my personal opinion, And you may call me a pessimist or whatever you want to call me, but I would rather think that I'm a realist right here. That while we have lived, some of us have lived through 9/11, and we saw those changes that took place, where now you don't just walk through the airport and get on the plane. There's a process for you to be able to go through because of terrorist activity. Hear what I'm telling you. I don't see us being normal like we have known it before. This is going to change everything in our society. And here we are dealing with a virus, dealing with a plague. We're dealing with, do we open up or not? And today Iran is pushing the agenda of shooting, of moving its drones out and saying that we can reach into Israel right now. Come on, are you kidding me? They've got one of the largest populations of deaths due to coronavirus. And the president said today, if they harass one of our United States ships, he said, shoot them down. I just want to say to you, my friends, that we're dealing with spiritual warfare all over the globe. Well, that's just too much for me. I'm just going to tune that out. I don't like listening to you. You better listen to this word right here tonight. Because the only one that's going to help us, I shared it last Saturday night on the little excerpt from the cave. And I, if you ever get a chance to log on Saturday nights, I've been doing a little thing study at home about this and reading a little bit out of David Wilkerson's book on the vision. And he said there would come a time when the relief funds and the epidemics that are going on would cause every nation to realize that their only hope is in God. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not there, then I don't know how else to explain it, because nobody has answers for this except the Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to get this passage of Scripture in your mind. Look at Proverbs. It's right there on your paper, Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 25. It mentions depression directly. Look at this. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. This is key for us. In this passage of Scripture, you see the diagnosis and you see the prescription. Diagnosis, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. And God has given us word on what we're supposed to do with anxiety. In fact, from the book of Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful or anxious, that word is, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I realize that many of us are dealing with these kind of things, but that's the reason why you can't just be isolated or spiritually disconnected when you're socially disconnected. You've got to connect with somebody. Get on the phone. Talk to somebody. Get a prayer partner together and go to prayer for each one of you. The Bible said the way you take care of that depression and anxiety is that you call out on the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, getting practically applied into a situation where you can minister to other people some way. Listen, my wife sent out cards to people that was on her heart this past week. You can do that. Just a little note that says, hey, I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm encouraging you. Whatever that it may be, you can do that. The Bible says that a good word makes us glad. This one verse right here can help people get beyond the stress and the pressure and the anxiety that you're feeling right now. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, get this now. Apparently, there was a yoke that you're not supposed to be carrying. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is giving us a critical, practical answer to the crisis that we're in right now. There are some yokes or some burdens that we're supposed to carry and some that we're not supposed to carry. But you never carry one without the help of the Lord. Now, here's two ways that I've been taught from my own father, and you find it in the Word of God. We are not to be a people as Christians that are reactionary, always waiting for something to happen, and then we react to it. To react is to act in opposition to a force or an influence, by definition. But the key for leaders in a crisis is to learn the power of response.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.